Sometimes I find really useful to reflect on this question. Why have I come here? Why have we all come here? What is the reason, the purpose of my coming here and engaging in this retreat, in these practices? One way, and I think it's very useful way, one way of framing it is saying that I've come here because I want freedom. Because I want liberation. And that sounds really great and very appealing. But what does it mean? What does it mean, freedom? What does it mean, liberation? You know, in many ways we've gained so much freedom in our society. If we look at history and how people lived centuries or millennia ago, so much freedom has been gained. People can now choose their career in life, their lifestyle. There is freedom of movement. People can say their opinions, their ideas, without being afraid they're going to be imprisoned or killed. Not in all parts of the world, of course, and even in this part of the world, not perfect. But if you see history, so much development in this freedom. We are much more free than 3 centuries ago, for example. And I think we should continue in that evolution and try to gain more freedom and for more people. But the freedom we are aiming at here is a different freedom, is a different liberation. It is an inner freedom, an inner liberation. That is what the Buddha was talking about. An inner freedom, an inner liberation. And Gavin and I are following, a little bit loosely, but we are following a specific sutta of the Buddha called the Satipatthana Sutta, in which he lays a path to that freedom, to that inner freedom, to that inner liberation. And in that sutta, the Buddha invites us to pay attention to 4 domains of experience. And Gavin spoke yesterday of the body, mindfulness of the body, bringing attention to the bodily experience. And this morning I'm going to talk about a 2nd domain in which the Buddha invited us to pay attention to, which is called Vedana. V-E-D-A-N-A. Vedana. It is a Pali word that means, I mean, it's translated in different ways, but the most useful translation to me is the hedonic zone of experience. The hedonic zone of experience. And hedonic is word that comes from Greek, hedone, which means pleasure. So the hedonic tone of experience is the quality of pleasantness or unpleasantness that comes with every experience we have. So each experience we have brings with it this quality of pleasantness or unpleasantness or something in between. And this happens with all experience in the six senses that we have. The five physical senses, sight, sound, smell, touch, taste, and the mind. And the mind. In Buddhist psychology, the mind is also a sense. So thoughts are to the mind what sights are to the eye. And this is happening all the time, in all six senses. And normally we are not aware of it, unless it is very prominent, very strong, then it becomes apparent. But normally it's very subtle, we're not aware of it. I just want to make clear that this is something that happens automatically. We don't have to think about it. Is this pleasant or unpleasant? It happens automatically. It is something immediate and mostly unconscious. And it is something that is actually embedded in our being, imprinted in each one of our cells. Something very biological, actually, and something that we share with the rest of living beings. If you see any living beings, they also share this with us. It's the most basic evaluation of experience. Is it pleasant or unpleasant, or something in between? One of the senior teachers who teach here at Calle House, Martine Batchelor, she puts it in this way. It can go from minus 10, very unpleasant, to plus 10, very pleasant, and all the range in between, all the spectrum in between. For me, for example, when I think of something very unpleasant, the drill when I go to the dentist and it's drilling on one of my tooth, I find that extremely unpleasant. It's one of the most unpleasant things for me, just thinking of it. And then something that's minus 10, something minus 3, minus 2 for me. I don't know, knee pain, for example, slight discomfort in the body. If I touch the carpet of the shawl, slightly pleasant, would be +2, +3. And, you know, if you imagine having your favorite meal in a gorgeous day like this, with a cool breeze, with a very good friend, +10. So we have all this range of experience and of Vedana, but normally we are not aware unless it is very prominent, very -10 or +10. And the Buddha invites us to pay attention to this, to really develop sensitivity to Vedana and its subtlety. And you may wonder why is this important to pay attention to Vedana, to become sensitive to Vedana. I actually pondered the first time I heard this, why bother? I mean, you feel something pleasant, yes, so what, and something unpleasant, normal, why should we bother paying attention to this? It is because the reaction we have to Vedana, because we are habitually driven by the reaction we have to Vedana. Actually, our lives are habitually driven by this reactivity to Vedana, by the deeply biologically rooted reaction to seek what is pleasant, to avoid what is unpleasant, and to not be interested in what is neither pleasant nor unpleasant, sometimes referred to neutral. Sometimes I think the shortest biography of any living being could be this reactivity to Vedana. And actually, the shortest biography of any living being, reactivity to Vedana. But again, why is this an issue, reacting to Vedana? Why is it an issue? And it is a big issue. For the Buddha, it was the biggest issue, actually. I think, personally, one of the ways I interpret the second noble truth, the origin of suffering, the Buddha said, sangha, craving, aversion, is the origin of suffering. To me, reactivity is another way of saying sangha. Craving and aversion are this reactivity to Vedana. I crave for the pleasant and I have aversion to the unpleasant. This is the origin of suffering for the Buddha. And I agree. But why is it that this reactivity to Vedana is problematic and leads us to suffering? Before I start, if you spend your life just searching, seeking out the pleasant and trying to avoid the unpleasant, that's a really hard work. It's a full-time job and it's doomed to failure. It's going to bring anxiety, much anxiety in this search, frustration, disappointment, despair, and it's doomed to failure. Doomed to failure. If this is not enough, in the pursuit of just getting the pleasurable and trying to avoid the pleasurable, we are going to do many unwholesome things. If I want to get this, because it's going to give me pleasure, and you also want to get that, you are in the way of me getting that. You become an enemy, for example, and conflict arises. It's just an example. There is so much, I don't know, lying, cheating, and violence in this quest, in this search. But furthermore, many of the things we pursue because they are pleasurable. If we get them, actually, they are going to bring suffering. They are kind of coated with pleasantness, but actually what they deliver in the long term is pain and suffering. And vice versa. Vice versa. Many of the things we avoid because they are unpleasant, in the long term, they are going to bring actually a well-being, freedom, and happiness. But I think one fundamental reason why this is a problem, an issue, is because reactivity to Vedana prevents us from being free, actually. And I would define, actually, freedom, this inner freedom, to unbind oneself from this reactivity to Vedana. Inner freedom would be unbinding, this unbinding from reactivity to Vedana. It is when you don't react to Vedana, when a space can be open and true and real freedom can arise. The possibility to choose a response and not to be led by reactivity. So this is what the freedom the Buddha was talking about, this inner freedom, which is more fundamental and more radical than the other freedoms was talking about at the beginning. And it's not that we shouldn't pursue these other freedoms, this political freedom, social freedom. It's not that we should not pursue them, but we need to pay attention to this inner freedom, because it's usually overlooked, we are not aware that it exists. And also because it affects these other freedoms. And because we are not going to really taste and experience happiness unless we have some degree of inner freedom. So how do we do this? How do we put this into practice? Well, one way is to, and the first step is to pay attention, to really develop this sensitivity to Vedana, to this aspect of experience. To start to pay attention. Is this experience pleasant or unpleasant, or something in between? And this can be done in formal meditation. You can choose, for example, an object of meditation and just pay attention if that sensations, for example, of when you sit on your cushion, are those sensations pleasant or unpleasant? Or particular sensation in another part of your body. It can be done to any sense door. Sounds, for example, that you hear, this sound, that sound, is pleasant or unpleasant. But it can be also done in daily life, as you move around, as you engage in an activity. As you do things, is it pleasant or unpleasant? Or just having an open awareness And as a experience becomes prominent, is it pleasant or unpleasant? Something in between. And then, the second step is to pay attention to reactivity to Vedana. Just to notice a tendency to pursue, to seek, to try to hold on to what is pleasant. And to try to avoid, to push away, to destroy what is unpleasant. Can we be aware of that reactivity? And can we soften it? Can we relax it? The third step, can we relax it? We can also pay attention to the impermanence of Vedana, how Vedana changes. And that also helps to soften and relax the reactivity. So many times we look for something pleasant and can put so much effort and energy, and then when we get it, it lasts. Sometimes maybe even a few seconds only. And all the trouble trying to get that. And with unpleasant and so much fear and anxiety with the unpleasant, with encountering the unpleasant. And when it comes, just it passes away. So that can be also a contemplation that helps to relax the reactivity to Vedana, paying attention to the impermanence of Vedana. So I'm going to present just these two, these steps as a practice, as you practice formally and informally, as you engage in work. But let's have just a very short formal practice, 5-10 minutes. You may just want to make any movements or adjustments in your posture. And as you sit, you may want to bring your attention to the parts of your body that are contacting the ground, and maybe noticing are they pleasant or unpleasant, something in between. Bringing the attention to the sensations of the breath. it pleasant or unpleasant? The Vedana of the beginning of the in-breath, of the end of the in-breath, or the beginning of the out-breath. End of the out-breath. What's the quality of the Vedana? The breath in the body. Bringing the attention to the sensations in your skin. In your face. The temperature of the air. Does it feel pleasant or unpleasant? Opening to sounds. And being interested in the Vedana of sounds. Any thoughts crossing your mind? Also, are they pleasant or unpleasant?
I love this teaching on Vedana. In this teaching is this sense of the doorway to freedom, the inner doorway to freedom. Just maybe as Ramiro was speaking, tuning into the ways that this dynamic plays out in our day-to-day life. You know, so often, so many thoughts about trying to figure out our lives, the world, all things, and we miss somehow the simplicity of what underpins the reactive thought patterns that get triggered. This simple, exquisite response that we have that kind of connects us also with all of life. You know, it's been running through the whole of the evolutionary process. In this sense that awakening also is part of this evolutionary process, you know, discovering the freedom that we've always sought out there is somehow available through here. And what is then possible in terms of us interacting in the world from that place? So we have this precious opportunity here on retreat as we start to expose ourselves again to what perhaps on day one you were thinking might rather be in the meditation hall, to be honest. Actually, this is the type of place where we can start to get reactive. You know, I haven't done that quite as well as I wanted to. With mindfulness, can we pause right there and be a little curious? What's the feeling? What's the feeling tone? What's the hedonic tone? And without needing to do anything else, we've mentioned already how mindfulness itself is the interrupter of reactivity. It's like non-reactivity. So this exquisite dynamic is happening all the time. Either there's no awareness, we go into blind reactivity and all manner of things can break out, or there's awareness and we're participating in the moment in a different way. So we're starting to open that door. In a sense, any moment we're being mindful in a kind of more embodied way, those moments when we notice the feeling tone, can be such a relief to recognize, the complexity in a way doesn't really go anywhere. All the thinking, all the figuring out. It's actually, when we resolve something, it's much more to do with the shift in the feeling experience. It's like, when we let go of something, it's like, it feels pleasant again. We don't always notice this. So when things get challenging, you know, we use this word challenge, and we're replacing the word problem with the word challenge. This is kind of what's at play, is normally, or very often, an unpleasant feeling tone. It's starting to arise. So as I was mentioning last night, this potential, if there's awareness to pause. Okay, sometimes there can be a lot of thinking going on, we're not quite sure where we are. Remember something about the body. Of course the body includes the head, might be unpleasant feeling in the head, unpleasant thoughts. Sometimes a little bit simpler further down the body, just tuning in, loitering there a little bit. What does that feel like? Yes, there's some unpleasant. We can't control what's happening outside of ourselves. I mentioned the worldly winds yesterday. So it's our relationship to those situations and conditions where normally we get into reactivity. We're on the path to freedom. And there's something exquisite. I really like to remind myself, I carried this idea for a while that liberation might be this sort of a bit of a blank nothingness. And I was, you know, questioning, is this something I even want, actually? You know, do I want to be free from, you know, moving towards the things I delight? But it's right there in the teachings. In Nibbana, nothing but happiness remains. So happiness is pleasant. And in the teachings, this is what's spoken of as unworldly pleasant experience. So if you want to spark your curiosity today, in a sense we're exploring a shift. What happens if I don't pursue this pleasure? Because often, you know, when the grasping arises, the running after the pull, it's a pleasant experience. Even if it's a pleasant experience of the beautiful day, we can somehow close ourselves off to it by trying to get more of it, get more of that sunset. It's like, oh. So the shift there's a different type of experience or feeling that might enter in. And you might have had glimpses of this, you know. Often on retreat, you're just not quite sure why you suddenly feel happy or joyful or peaceful. I haven't got anything. So it's the joy of less. The shift from a tiring, stressful life of trying to get more of something. And the grace of realizing that so much of what we're looking for is available through less. So allow this to support your curiosity of giving attention to these three domains. And so often when we're just spacing out and we go off into daydream and meandering thinking, there's neutral. It's like, oh, this practice a bit boring really. But hold that sense of boredom against nothing but happiness remains. You know, that boredom also is this mind state that one also somehow can become free from in this practice, that it's not the sort of default, it's not the innate place. So often we carry this idea that boredom is how it would be if I wasn't trying to fix all the stuff that I need to fix or go and get all the stuff that I really, really want. And of course the other element of this is the way that we superimpose this onto the world around us, and often we engage in the world around us in a way that doesn't necessarily support the well-being that is more reliable. So pleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Pleasant sounds a bit like three labels, but actually it's the fact that we respond to life in these very narrow labels. That's what creates the sense of sameness, of I've seen this, I've done this before, this is unpleasant. So in a sense it's the other way around. We're not labeling experience with these. In a way, we're starting to become free from the way that we automatically relate to life through these. And in doing so, we start to tap into the infinite experience that actually everything's new, everything's different. We may feel slightly different about everything, and you'll know this yourself on those days where the mind feels bright and you feel happy. Somebody says something unpleasant to you, it doesn't necessarily feel so bad as it does the day when we don't feel so good, feel a bit heavier. So it's always changing the flavour of this landscape. We can be curious. Start to free ourselves from the prison that is created in reactivity to these. So the third step I mentioned last night, of in those places where it feels a bit challenging, of just taking stock, things are impermanent. Things are often feel imperfect. It's the unpleasant feeling really that is starting to build the problem, and just settling back in. This is okay. Awareness, there's nothing wrong with this experience, there's nothing wrong with this moment. I can begin again right there with a sense of compassion if needed. So be curious about this life, as we mentioned at the beginning. It's right here in this moment where this path is, and so often there's neutral experience around. It's like, it's a great value in giving attention to neutral experience, and it's actually one of the reasons the Buddha invited us to get used to giving attention to the breathing. Generally a neutral experience. If we start to land, connect with, be curious about neutral, starts to expose ourselves, acquaint us with this different type of pleasant that can come in through practice. So, we have these two foundations of bodily experience, if things are just feeling a little bit more chaotic or more things going on. Both valid for insight and awakening. Tuning into the sense of the body, here it is, sitting, standing, moving. And if it feels like you're, it's a little bit more steadiness, start to connect with the Vedana. See what we discover. Just being kindly aware is enough. We don't have to do anything. That is what unhooks. So we'll move into our next practice period shortly. Just before then, just wanted to make a couple of announcements. We have quite a few interview slots available today during this day as we kind of slip more into the flow of the retreat. And it's lovely for us to meet all of you at some point over the retreat. So if that feels like a support for you, please do sign up. If you're very clear that you just want to stick with the flow, then that's also okay. We'll put up some slots tomorrow morning as well. Won't be so many. And if you met with Ramiro yesterday and you feel like there's something going on that you feel would be useful to talk about also today, then it's very likely there'll be slots available, but maybe just leave it till a bit closer to the time before signing up. And if there aren't any, you can always leave us a note. But just feel in for yourself. It might be that just sticking with the practice and carrying on and exploring is what's needed today. So they're posted up on the board out there, and Ramiro will be in the lounge and I'll be in the library. And also just to mention, you might have noticed that one of our group has left retreat, so I just wanted to mention this because it can, you know, obviously affect the thoughts that are passing through, and just to say that it was just a sense from that person of not feeling, thinking they would have been able to participate, but not being able to participate, and arriving yesterday at the decision that it was best for them not to be here, which it sometimes is. You know, that's where that can feel like the appropriate response. So they're doing okay, but just, yeah, being on silent retreat wasn't the right place for them this week. So just to mention that also. So that was Ray who was here. So I think that's it. So the bell that was rung was the ending of one type of practice and the beginning of another. And we're always cultivating, things are always happening. So see what you discover during this work period. And again, appreciation for your service and the cultivation that brings also, both here at Gaia House and in your own beings. And into lunch after that, and we'll convene at 2:15 this afternoon. So thank you for your practice.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.